What's up, everybody? Welcome to Friendship Frequency. This is a podcast where we talk about our real life struggles and what has worked for us. We get vulnerable and discuss our everyday lives, and we invite you to go on this journey to better yourself right along with us. I'm Tab Johnson.
And I'm Aaron Windhorn.
And this is who we are, and this is what we do.
What's going on, my friend? We back at it.
What's up, right? It was, you know, I was mobile today at work. I was going out with my new account manager and, you know, seeing a couple different accounts and stuff like that. So just out on the road all day and, you know, driving in Seattle. So fun.
Yeah, gotta love that. Took me an hour and 20 minutes to go home from Seattle today.
Yeah. It took me an hour and 40. Yeah.
Wow.
But I was way up north Seattle, like past Ballard. It's crazy because like there's still so many people without power. Like even a couple of the places that we stopped by and visited today, they were still without power. That's crazy. Businesses. So Yeah,
it was crazy. Like I usually get to work, and so the employees at the hotel have their own parking lot, and the whole lot was full this morning. I found like there was like two open spots, and I got a parking spot, and I went in and I asked, I was like, "What's going on?" And they're like, "Oh, people, we just had like a mass rush of people booking rooms last minute.
Oh, yeah,
because of not having power." And I didn't even think about that. And they said that they like they didn't have the staff, so they had to bring in like housekeepers to like clean rooms last minute,
just wild to
sell the rooms.
And wild.
A hotel in Bellevue called them, asking for 200 rooms because they're all out of power, so they're gotta find a place for their guests.
Oh, they're still even in Bellevue. Yeah, which is weird because
Bellevue got hit hard.
You know, you think they'd have backup generators just considering it's Bellevue, but you know.
Yeah. My sister lives in Bellevue. She's still without power and it's still going to be 2 to 3 days. So,
dude, that's rough. Yeah. That's rough. Like down here, it just blinked out the one time and then came right back on and we were good. Right. And unfortunately, it looks like there's another one coming.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like 10 o'clock in the morning, so we'll see how our Pacific Northwest fails for our walk Saturday morning. We'll probably have trees and crap all over the pathway.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to play softball tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Like an actual game. Listen, I'm not going to lie. My heart won't be broken. It's been a hot minute since I've been on the field. I won't be that upset. Right. But, yeah, if you are listening and you are affected by the storm and, you know, we're praying for you guys and wishing you all the warmth and well wishes. And, you know, if you're in our community and you need something, please reach out. Don't hesitate to reach out, you guys. We'll definitely pull together and do what we can. Yeah. Today was just it was a day, you know, driving like that and being stuck in traffic, and it will suck the life out of you. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, it's not just like people, it's work, it's, or not the traffic. It's just, I mean, set aside the crazy people that are like energy vampires, like driving into work that think that it's, you know, the whole world revolves around them. You know, it's those people at work too, you know, that constantly think it's all about them.
Let's unpack that a little bit, Aaron. Let's unpack that a little bit.
Yeah.
Energy vampires. Mm. You and I both have definitely experienced our fair share of energy vampires, whether it be person, place, work, situation. When I say energy vampire, what does that mean to you?
Somebody, for me, it's like people that bring drama or just like think the world revolves around them and just like, or they're like constantly negative all the time. Like, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's like,
don't kill my vibe, bro. Don't kill my vibe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a couple friends that, you know, not to knock on people, but they're just like so negative, like, you know, especially since Trump, you know, got nominated, they think the world's going to end or whatever. And I'm just like, to me, no matter who's president, you know, we all make the choice, you know, facts, to do what we can to live life, you know.
So. It's hard too, because it's, if you're not like, if you're not a person with a strong mindset and mentally strong, like it's easy to get wrapped up in it and it's easy to feed into it, you know? And full disclosure, I mean, and you know this, like until I started doing the work on myself and learning what boundaries were, I had no idea. You know, boundaries and like how to protect my own energy. You know, I was that person. Like I would feed into it and anybody could get me riled up over just the smallest, stupidest thing and I'd be guns blazing ready to go, you know?
Right.
So it's easy to get wrapped up in that for sure. I'm definitely guilty of it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I've been there, you know, throughout my life. And I think like the biggest thing is, you know, people that are so unhappy with their own lives, you know, they don't want to see, you know, it's kind of like twofold. Like there's people that are energy vampires because they're jealous of seeing you succeed and their life is so miserable, or they're just looking at the sad state of the nation, you know, crying about what's going on in the world. And it's just like, they're just like, it's so energy draining.
Yeah. You have to make a conscious effort, like truly a conscious effort to not be a part of it, or to focus your energy elsewhere, I guess I should say. At least for me, I know I do. I do a lot of, and listen, I'll just use probably one that everybody can relate to. Work. I have a very high level or high stress level job, and literally there's days where I just come home and I'm like, I can't compute like one more thing. I can't, there can't be one more heavy conversation. And I have to, you know, make the conscious effort to either leave that at the door and not give my family that version of myself, not give you, like if we're doing this, not give you that version of myself, and just, you know, put it down and listen, the drama's going to be there tomorrow when I go back. Like, let's be real. So it's, you know, you have to make that conscious effort and that conscious decision to just not be a part of it. And yeah, but it's, yeah, there's a lot of it. And some people aren't even aware that they're doing it. That's what's even scarier.
Yeah.
You know,
they're so used to it. It's so their comfort zone. I mean, I used to, before I got in recovery, you know, I was always the victim and, you know, I was always bitching and complaining and I was that energy vampire. And, you know, since I've gotten recovery and I've been kind of in the personal development world of just becoming a better person. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times where like life gets kind of sketchy. And my mind can fall back there. So then I find myself like being attracted to those energy vampires to kind of like make my situation a little bit better.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
but I can only stay there for so long.
Right. It was super eye-opening for me. I think when I first started getting into the self-development, probably one of the most profound things that I learned in the beginning was I was really good at using my past or, experiences that I had been through as a crutch or an excuse to not better myself and to continue to be that energy vampire.
Right.
And that self-realization, that awareness was like, that hit different. When you realize that you are the thing in your own way of like changing your mindset and you are the thing that is stopping you from leveling up because you can't get let go of whatever, blah, 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 whatever the thing is. And you continuously roll around in that drama. One, it's humbling. Two, it is you, once you're aware of it, you can't not be aware of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's that tough. I've had, several friends, like really good friends in my life that we were really close and we spent a lot of time together. And I got to a point in my life, they were always bitching and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And, you'd give them advice and they wouldn't take the advice and they would just keep bitching and complaining, calling you and just like vomiting the same stuff over and over. And, I had to get to a point where it was just like, you know me, I always tell people like mm-hmm. it is. And I've always told, these Amen. Friends.
I know that's,
right. Like it was. And finally, I just, had to set those boundaries to, we're not friends no more. We hardly talk.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
Do you feel like it was difficult, though, like, to set the boundaries? And were there any feelings of, like, guilt or, did you feel bad about doing that in the beginning? Or was it, like, just a straight up, this is, cut the dead limb off?
Well, I definitely held some guilt about doing it, but it had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, I don't want to, it's never my intention to hurt anybody. But when it's like, it kind of gets to a point where it's like, you care about them, but they don't give two shits about you because they're just like sucking the life out of you, whether they like realize it or not. So it's like, you kind of get to this point in your head where it's like, okay, you have to do what's best for yourself.
Yeah.
And just like cut the limb off. I mean, I recently just had to do with it with my mom again, me and her mm-hmm. got into it and it's the same shit. So it's just like
that, or like it for me, like I really struggled with setting those boundaries in the beginning. Because as long as I was taking care of everybody else, I didn't have time to look at my, demons that were waving and doing the freaking whipping nene in the corner. I didn't have to pay attention. I know, exactly. I didn't have to pay attention to those. And so there was that level of, there was that feeling of guilt. And there was also that I felt bad because I had been everything for everybody for so long. And I just didn't, when you get quiet and you have to sit with yourself and your own thoughts and all of that, you're like, whoa, you really are a crazy bitch. I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? Like it was, I really struggled with it for a long time. And even after, I struggled with the thought of who I thought that person was. Like you learn, obviously, once you learn that, your friendship was more one-sided or whatever the situation is. And they vomited and used you and, they were coming back with the same issue. So clearly you weren't helping them, but you thought you were. And like almost like grieving the person that I thought that they could be, like falling in love with someone's potential. And then realizing
you've talked about that a lot.
Like realizing they're never going to be what you think that they can be. Like they have to do that on their own. Yeah. And, like I still today, like I still struggle with it sometimes, you know, you see so much in a person and what could be, especially for me now that I'm not in that sick drama filled, you know, just cycle over and over again. And you see what could be. And, I still am working to not fall in love with someone's potential. So definitely still have work to do there, but I recognize it sooner now.
Right.
Yay. That's for the good. Little wins. I know.
it's progress, not perfection, right?
Yeah. I mean, I recognize it sooner now and, I don't struggle as much if I have to cut the dead limb off, you know, and it takes a lot for me to get to that point, I think.
Yeah.
But like, if I have to do it, I'll love you from the distance and I'll wish you well and I'll send you love and want all the good things for you. But I will love you from the distance because I won't touch that stove again.
Right.
So,
and I know for me, you know, we've talked about in other podcasts about, me not having any long-term friendships in my life. And it's like, I think, for me and a lot of people is that we tend to hang on to those toxic relationships because whether it's negative or positive, it's like in my case, you know, not having like long time life friends, you know, and then you go and like second guess, well, is it like myself that is the problem? So, you know, it can definitely turn into, you know, some anxiety.
Oh, dude, for real.
You know, so it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
I think I started to, like, I was recognizing it before, like, self-development and stuff that we got into. Like, this is, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Like, I would get in these friendships. And then, like, somewhere down the road, I would, like, catch myself, like, if I don't respond fast enough, like to a text message, I would be scared that they would get mad at me. Or if I didn't answer every single time they called, or God forbid I take a nap, or you know what I mean? Like stupid, weird stuff, not stupid, but like, it was like I was being held hostage in a friendship because I just was giving so much of everything. And like, so I started to recognize it then, like, but I didn't know the name for it. Like, I didn't know that it was actually a vampire or energy vampire. And I remembered I lost a friendship over it. Like, I told Jason, I just can't. It's like I'm in a relationship with them. Like, I can't even. And I don't even answer to you the way that I answer to them. Like, you know? So, yeah, the anxiety that came with it was, it was overwhelming. And it was enough to put me in a place where I questioned everything about myself, I think. So, yeah, I get that.
Right. I mean, it's the constant accountability and the manipulation that I see in those toxic relationships too. It's like, I don't know. I've kind of always been the one that, like, if somebody calls me and I miss the call or somebody texts me, I'm like quick to respond. And I, you know, was in a place in my life where it's like, if they took forever to respond to me, I took it as a sign of like disrespect.
Yeah. That tit for tat. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but it's like, now it's like, I know, you know, people are busy. I get busy. There's some times where I can't respond right away either. So
I think I love the fact too that I don't know what that banging is in the background. I have no idea what they're doing in the other room. So sorry in advance, y'all. Like for me, the learning now that it's okay to turn your phone off or put your phone on do not disturb was like the greatest gift I could have ever given myself. Like, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. So every night at 8 o'clock, do not disturb. And, you know, I have my list of people that can get through to me no matter what. If it's an emergency situation, my kids, obviously, Jason, you, which I'm not on your list. We've already talked about this. Don't feel bad about that. It literally was from...
I have an Android.
It literally was because of the walk or the playbook situation, whatever. It is to be able to turn my phone off and like send a text right now to tell them to stop banging whatever they're banging. It's just that sense of calm. Like, isn't that crazy that our cell phones do that? Like, that's how, like, attached, especially my work cell phone. Oh, my God. The second that thing goes off, I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. Right.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Stop and then banging, whatever that is. We are recording.
Right. It's that stress and that burnout that comes from it, too.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a real thing. Like, that's a real thing. Like, I have literally watched people, especially at the level that I'm at now in work, people be super successful and feel like they have it all together. And then next thing you know, you see them again at the next meeting or whatever. And you're like, are you all right? Like,
right.
You just like see it in their face and like everywhere. So yeah, that's rough.
We can always edit it out if need be.
Well, thank God for that because come on, hello. Somebody right. Stop banging, whatever that is. I mean, if people want to see the real, that's the real. You know, my family's in the other room. God knows only what they're doing. They can't be doing too much. Jaden is sick. So,
must be that hubby.
Oh yeah, God only knows. Yeah, the burnout is, dude. I've had that. Like I've got there. I mean, you know this. Like when I struggle with my work-life balance, I have a tendency to go in that dark place. And become that energy vampire. So I have to be very careful about how one, I don't ever, because I realized at some point that I was really bad about doing that with you. Like I would dump on you and then I would catch myself and I'd be like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to like vomit on you my whole day. I know it's terrible, but yeah, that burnout is a real thing, especially if you cannot, or if you struggle with, you know, getting your priorities in line, in alignment, and taking care of yourself outside of it. So,
right. Tough one. It can be.
Yeah. What about like actually letting those people go or letting that situation or whatever it is? Do you feel like you struggle with it? Is it something that, you know, you have to really like have a deep conversation with yourself about it? Or is it just, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's definitely gotten better. I think I used to struggle with it, but, and I know this sounds bad. Like I'll go back to the situation with my mom, you know, that it's a constant thing. She knows how to like push my buttons. You know, she constantly asks me to borrow money and I've told her, no, don't ask me to borrow money. And she continually does it. And I had to get to a point where, you know, she always plays that victim role. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, starts pouting or I can't do something, you know, playing that victim role. And that drives me nuts no matter who it is. It's like, bitch, get up and fucking do something. You know, I'm not calling my mom a bitch. I'm just saying generally to people.
He would say that to me, y'all. He would say that to me for sure.
But, you know.
With all the love in his heart, but he still would say it.
And, you know, I finally told her, I was like, you know, don't ask me no more. And, you know, my good friend told me, he's like, you know, you can either do two things. You can either give your mom a monthly allowance, or you can just stick to your boundaries of not giving her no money.
Yeah.
Because I have a tendency to always go back and give her money when I have the money.
Yeah.
Whenever she asks for it.
Dude, that's hard. Like, especially the relationship with your mom. Like, you know, it's your mom.
It's a toxic relationship.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I get it. Yeah. Like, that would be difficult. You want to talk about toxic relationships with mamas? Lord Jesus knows I had one. Yeah. But, and that's why I think it was so difficult too. Yeah.
It's tough, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff from childhood and I've worked through it and I've learned to like forgive her and, you know, came to realization that, you know, she did the best way that she knew how. And it's not for her, it's for me. So I can get on and move on with my life and not hold grudges. But as I'm like older and all that stuff continues to happen, it becomes like really tough to deal with. And that's like the one relationship in my life that like really bothers me. And I feel guilty for doing it. But at the same time, it's like, it's necessary.
Yeah.
And, so this, you know, this last time she asked me to come over and hang. So she led with, so she moved into a new apartment. And when she moved into her apartment originally, like 2 years ago, I had went over there and I hung her TVs on the wall. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she decides that she needs a bigger place because she's a pack rat. So she decides to get this new apartment that's like a two bedroom and it's going to cost her more money and stuff like that. And so she calls me up and she leads with, the people that came down and took down my TV said you did an amazing job hanging them up, and then goes into, will you come over and hang them at my new place? And I said, no, I don't have time for it. And she's like, oh, okay. And so we hang up, and then the following week, which I think was Monday, she calls me and I'm at work, so I don't answer. I text her and I tell her, what's up? I'm at work. I can't talk right now. And she's like, oh, I can't get my internet connected to the TV. Can you come over and get it connected? And I was like, Mom, I don't have time.
Right.
And I'm like walking her through the steps on how to do it. I was like, it's real easy. I was like, when I don't know how to do something, I always Google it and figure it out myself. I don't go rely on other people to do stuff. I'm like, you're constantly asking me to do stuff. She's like, when's the last time I asked you to do something? Oh, last week. And then a month ago when you called me and said you needed brakes on your car and they were metal to metal and it was $1,000. And I, even though I told you I wouldn't lend you money no more, I let you put it on my credit card.
Oh, Aaron, I did not see. The truth is coming out, y'all. It is. I did not know all of that. Aaron.
So I was like, you know,
it makes more sense now knowing that why you got so upset about it this time. Because really, when you told me, I was like, well, this is another situation. You know, we'll give it some time. Things will work themselves out. Now knowing that, I understand why you got so upset about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue.
She's a key manipulator. So, she's like, well, I just figured that we're family, that you would come and help me out. family helps family. And I said, look, oh,
God,
I don't owe you shit. Just because we're family doesn't mean I owe you anything. I was like, you've never helped me out in my life. And then she's like, you need counseling. And I said,
that escalated right, so quickly.
I was like, okay, we're done. Don't text me. Don't call me. And I blocked her. Of course, I had guilt for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to set boundaries because.
Well, and honestly, not only that, that could have went way worse.
Yeah, it could have.
Yeah. The way that you responded is probably the best thing you could do right now because there could have been a lot of hurtful and hateful things said. You know,
there could have, so. And there has in the past. So,
Look at you growing, sir.
I mean, this has been an ongoing thing. I've blocked her before.
Yeah.
And then she'll manipulate the situation and then go to my sisters and ask my sisters how I'm doing, or Aaron won't talk to me. Will you ask him this?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you just don't get it. Like, and it's funny that she said that I needed to go to counseling when all of us kids have said, you need to go to counseling, Mom. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to go to counseling. I don't want to deal with the past. And I was like, you're never going to improve unless you do counseling and work through with why you are the way that you are now. You're going to die alone.
That's facts. That's so, not the die alone part. I don't know that, but if you don't face your demons from the past, and I speak from 100% experience, y'all.
Yeah.
There's this thing called a pattern, and you seem to find yourself in the same similar situations over and over again. And you even have the audacity to ask yourself, how did this happen again? How did I get here? Well, self, I made the same exact mistakes. I made the same exact choices and didn't learn from it the last time or grow from it the last time and try and understand why I made the choices that I made.
Mm.
So, yeah, if you don't face your past and you don't put those demons to rest, they will come back and snatch you from behind. Trust me on that.
They will, 100% of the time.
100, maybe 110% of the time. Right. Just saying.
And listeners, don't come at me for being that way with my mom.
Don't come at Aaron anyway, listeners, watchers. Rude. Right. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, like the olden days, it's like you take care of your parents no matter what, blah 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 type of stuff. And I don't buy into that BS.
But I think
if you haven't been parents, you you don't deserve nothing.
Well, and not only that, but I think there has to be a line where you say to yourself, yes, I would take care of my parents, but at what cost? Yeah. You know what I mean? You have to, at some point, your own mental health and well-being has to be the priority. So, I mean, I get it. I understand that.
Some would say that you need to set your feelings or your differences aside, that, you know, what if she dies tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've had this conversation with myself. Like, would I miss my mom?
I just was about to say, this is your guilt talking right now. Literally. Yeah. This is your guilt talking. Yeah. And I get that. Like, I understand that. And I've even said that to you before. Like, Aaron, if I could have 5 minutes with my mom, like, regardless of all the bumps and bruises that her and I had to go through, if I could have 5 minutes, I would kill for that. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't know that that would be a healthy 5 minutes if I'm being 100% honest. You know what I mean? It might do more damage than good, honestly. So you kind of have to, just like you told me, like there are some situations that it just is what it is. You know, as much as we want to change it, as much as we would like for things to be different, it just is what it is. So,
yeah, I would like my relationship with my mom to be normal, where she like generally like cared about my life. Like you see, you know, kids growing up and the parents generally like care. Mm-hmm. I've never felt that with my mom. So it's like, you may be trying to be a mom now.
Right.
But it's like too late.
Yeah. Yeah. The damage. Yeah. And especially if she's not willing to
make a change.
Yeah. To make a change and face the past, you know, you know, my daughter, my oldest daughter and myself, like that's something that her and I struggle with. You know, she got the unhealed version of me 100%. And I know that, and I don't run from that. I don't deny that. But there are times now where we bump heads and I have to remind myself, you've done the work. You're not the same person that I was before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her and I don't always agree on everything, but I definitely go out of my way to make sure that she understands, even though we don't agree on everything, that's okay. Number one. Number two, I raised you to speak your opinion. So I'm proud of you for that. Number three, right. I don't care how mad you get at me. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we have to love each other from a distance for a little while, cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll put some distance there, but I'm still your mother. I will still always have your back, but I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Right.
You know, so it is. Those are hard relationships. Those are it, like, especially when it comes to family, dude, that's just tricky in general.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think the role of like forgiveness is huge.
Oh.
Like I have to learn to forgive my mom, but I can't do it when she's in my life, when she's not willing to make that change, because it brings all that stuff back up. So
yeah,
like I've done the work.
I 100% agree with that. And I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. Like with my daughter and I growing up, it was always, you know, we have to get out into counseling. We have to get her to counseling and, you know, get some help. Never once. And this is me admitting this fully as a parent. Never once did I ever say, I need to get into counseling. Or him and I need to get into counseling so we can learn how to be better parents and, you know, how to help the situation. And it wasn't until, you know, we got into the self-development space where I finally could understand that, sister, you played a big role in this. Like, you right. know what I mean? And so as the parent, I had to really, you know, and we're still like having some hard conversations. I had to really own up to, you know, the damage that I caused, number one. And, you know, my perspective on things now and, learn patience again, it's like taking a look backwards at myself, if that makes sense, and realizing, oh my God, did I think like that? You know what I mean? Like I had to really, and we're still going through it, but you know, it's in progress and it's progress over perfection for sure.
Yeah.
And little by little. So I think if I was on the other side of that and was like, no, like I didn't make any, like, dude, I can't even imagine that conversation between her and I, that would be hard. So I'm grateful that I'm not that parent, but I could see how it would be hard to hear a parent say that from your perspective, for sure. Yeah. So does she, like, just out of curiosity, does she go through stuff like this with your sisters too, or is it just you?
No, my sisters are fed up with her too.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
But, I mean, I think me and her have the most, what's the word, tumultuous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably because she asks the most from me.
Mm-hmm. Because you're her son.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what it is. And that's exactly what it is.
I'm the baby of the family, so
mm-hmm. I got you're two her only sisters. Son, and at one point, you were the man in the house.
Yeah.
If I had to guess. Yeah, same thing with my son. Yeah. Yeah.
My dad when him and I picture.
Yeah. If me and JJ, if me and him get into it, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. So it doesn't happen very often. Like, I can't even remember the last time. But there's something to be said about the bond between a mother and a son. And a mother and a daughter. And it's just different. You know, there's not, it's not more or less. It's just different. And yeah, at one point, same thing. JJ was the man in the house. And yeah.
I mean, I think it's more because probably I've done more for her.
And yeah,
I put up with more of her crap. But just because I'm the only one in the family that's like done work on myself, like I've done counseling as a child because of the abuse growing up,
mm-hmm.
you know, been to counseling as an adult, you know, worked the 12 steps in recovery.
Right.
And then the personal development stuff. But, you know, I'm not perfect. I still struggle with that stuff. And, you know, especially when it's like ongoing and nothing changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't ever ask my mom for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I feel like it's always take, take, take. Poor me, I'm a victim. And it's been that way throughout my entire life, you know? So it's, I'm at peace without having that relationship.
Yeah.
And that's why I set them boundaries and just like cut it off at the limb, because it's easier for me to do that than happen to deal with that and make the situation worse, because
right.
I'm bullheaded, and you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Yeah.
Facts. Like if she did some work on herself, then I would be willing to, you know, repair the relationship. But
I think that's what it would take too for you guys to heal the wound. You know what I mean? There would have to be some work on her side. And I think that's the, knowing you the way that I know you, I think that's the only way you would even consider healing through it instead of just detaching altogether.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I'll probably take a couple months and probably unblock her and message her to see how she's doing, knowing me. I mean, that's kind of what I always do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even when she's in my life, I can go months without talking to her and I'm perfectly fine with it. Like,
right.
You know, some kids need their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so independent, you know, I graduated from high school, and 2 weeks after I graduated from high school, my mom's like, oh, by the way, you're on your own.
Yeah.
I had no place to live. I had no job. So, you know, and I'm grateful that she kicked me out on my ass, because kids nowadays suck off their parents forever, and they're so entitled because their parents give them everything. So I'm grateful that she did that, because it forced me to grow up and get a set. But, you know, there's never been a relationship between me and her. And so.
Well, I mean, I know where you are with it. Like, I don't cross the line, because, you know, I could in a second. With as protective as I am over you. But you know, there's some things you don't cross that line. So I hope you do what you need to do for you. and for your not safety, but your peace of mind and well-being. Yeah. And I hope that if she does listen to this, that she puts in the work and, or at least, you know, starts it, and you guys can get to a place where it's good for both of you. And if not, then, you know, that's okay too. Like, yeah. That's okay too. So I didn't realize how huge boundaries were. Like, I didn't even know they were a thing, honestly. Like, I thought that right. You just went through life like this and, you know, your crazy family or whoever the person is just what it was. So Knowing this and knowing that boundaries and protecting your own energy and the ability to say no and the ability to turn my phone off and put it on do not disturb, here for it. Yeah. Here for it.
I love it.
I can't care about the people in my life that are important to me if I have nothing to give. And it took me a long time to learn that too. But if I want to be the best version of myself, then I have to be able to, number one, surround myself with the best versions of people possible. And two, protect my energy and protect my time and make sure that what's coming in is positive and not in the opposite direction. So that might even on TV, like, listen, full disclosure, y'all, I am addicted to like reality TV shows.
Drama.
I can get wrapped up in that drama like nobody's business. And I had to get to a point where I had to stop watching it because I would catch myself literally lay in the bed and watch like the whole season back to back. I laugh about it.
Don't tell me you watch Jersey Shore.
Yes, Aaron. Oh my God. I feel so called out right now.
It's funny because I have this toxic straight friend.
Uh-huh.
That loves watching that. And I'm like, dude, how do you watch that? It's so fucking drama filled.
Oh, dude, like, that's why. That's why. Like, and it literally got to a place where I was like watching whole seasons at a time. And then like, it starts the cycle of, oh my God, I didn't do laundry. Oh my God, the house is a mess. Oh my God. Like, and all this anxiety just is filling up. And so I just had to like, I have to make sure that what I'm taking in, like social media, music, all the things, like, is positive, because it is super, I've talked about this before in other podcasts, like, this for me is new. This for me is super fragile, and I protect it. It's in bubble wrap because that's how easy it would be for me to go backwards. And I just don't want to do that. So,
yeah. What did Chris say in one of our other podcasts? He said, we become what we consume.
Yeah, that is facts.
Music, social media, TV shows, porn.
Yep.
We become what we consume.
And I love now that like on my social media feed, like, my reels and stuff that are coming up are like working out and running because I've gotten back into that, and like nutrition. And a lot of it is, you know, ladies that were plus size and have started running and their journeys and stuff like that. So I love that because that just feeds me, you know? So I have to be like, I have to be very intentional about what I consume social media wise and TV wise, music wise, because it is especially music. Like, I'm one of those people that I feel music in my whole soul, and it is easy for me to get like, oh my God, you broke my heart. So, yeah, right. For sure.
So, we should probably wrap this up. I know you got to go soon. So, give a couple of things that you would encourage listeners to do.
I think really take the time and you know, if you feel like there's a possibility that a person or a place or a thing, whatever, is in your life, and you feel like it takes a lot out of you, reevaluate that and really analyze that relationship or partnership, whatever it is. And, you know, are they in alignment with you? Are they headed in the same direction as you? And if not, have the hard conversation. It sucks. Nobody wants to have those conversations. But, you know, if it's someone that is truly interested and in alignment with you, they'll be there for that conversation. Aaron and I have had to do that. You know, these are real, true conversations that have to take place in order to, you know, put both of you on the same path. And I think just really evaluate the relationships in your life and the things in your life. And the other one would be literally protect your energy at all cost, whatever that means to you. Like, I go to bed, I get up at 3:30, and from the time I wake up till the time I go to bed, there is like a force field shield around me. I don't know if you guys have seen, it's not, you can't see it visibly, but like I have to intentionally do that. Don't laugh at me, Aaron. Get off me, hater. You can't touch me. And I joke about it, but that's real.
She's got that Obi-Wan Kenobi energy.
Damn right. Serious. That is serious. Because if I don't, I know how easy it would be for me to slide backwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you guys have been watching me on social media, but listen, my consistency muscle is a little stronger these days. And, I don't know if you all are ready to see these guns just yet, but you know,
she's taking you to the gun show.
Yeah. Like, you know, and that's important to me. I've come a long way. And, so I protect this energy at all costs. So yeah, that would be my action steps.
That's called.
Look at me growing. What about you? What are some steps you would tell people to take?
I would say, like, be honest with yourself, you know, look inside. Are you that energy vampire?
Mic drop. Are you the energy vampire? Are right. you the person? Listen, that's a real conversation, y'all. For it real. Is. For real.
And just, you know, evaluate it. And I would say, like, working on yourself, personal development.
Yeah.
Keeping that mind right. You know, if you have those toxic relationships, those energy vampire people, you know, not in my situation because I'm special, but learn to forgive those people, not for them, but for yourself, so you can move on.
And don't give those people the ability to take, what did you say? Take up space in your head. They don't pay your rent.
Don't let them motherfuckers rent space in your head. Charge them.
That's it. That's it. Yep. That's it.
So.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Love it.
I like it.
Well, you got to go, growing. So I love it.
It's perfect. Right?
Great Same. Episode. Yeah. I got pretty vulnerable there.
Yeah, you did. I'm proud of you. Yeah. Super proud of you. You needed right, that, yeah. though. You needed to talk about that. So,
I do.
All right. I will. I got to jump out of here, and we'll catch you next time. Talk Peace to you later, out. Friend. Deuces.
Bye. Please like and subscribe and share, and don't be afraid to reach out to us with feedback and topic ideas. We are here to offer hope to everyone, and we cannot do it without you. Until next time, I'm Aaron.
I'm Tab.
And this is the friendship we can see. This is who we are, and this is what we do. Have a good night. Peace.
Good night.